Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. MediShield Life premiums may rise by up to 35% for some, but so will payouts. You may have heard of the preliminary recommendations for MediShield Life. What do the changes mean for you? I've invited a young man, just 35 years old, but he's very passionate about the field that he's in. He's a former animator. Now he's a financial consultant with IPP Financial Advisors. And he's really passionate about helping people understand how insurance can help safeguard you. So it's time to say welcome to Li Jiaqian. How are you, Jiaqian?
Good morning, Michelle. I'm good, thank you.
Wonderful of you to join us. So let's jump into MediShield. So we know that premiums, because of these preliminary recommendations by the MediShield Life Council, the premiums may increase by up to 35% in the next few years. There are a lot of changes, a lot of minutiae and fine details. But among the recommendations, what stood out for you in terms of significance?
Okay, so at first glance, I think a consumer may think that why are the premiums increasing so rapidly these few years? So it is a tough call because we are also the consumer as well. So insurance planning is a defensive strategy. So premiums are calculated by actuary based on statistics. So in the case of health insurance, insurance companies are not really making profits for the past few years. And in the business perspective, right, they will need to adjust the premium in order to continue to issue claims for customers while remaining sustainability. So at the same time, it is very assuring that the government reviews the healthcare costs periodically to provide better coverage for Singaporeans by increasing treatment-specific claims. So the annual limit has been raised, may be raised to better protect Singaporeans with exceptionally large bills resulting from long and multiple periods of hospitalization. So on the national standard, I think it is wise for us to pay a bit more while having the coverage increase. And I think it is amazing if, let's say, we can include treatments arising from attempted suicide as well. So to better manage integrated plan premiums, measures like co-payments and deductibles have been implemented. So in my opinion, the next step can be loosening the criteria for claim approval.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so basically at the moment, one of the criteria for claim approval is that a patient must be warded maybe for a minimum of 6 to 8 hours. So if the criteria is reduced to 3 to 4 hours, perhaps the cost can be adjusted. So this is my personal view on it.
Okay, right. So the MediShield Life Council has recommended raising the policy year claim limit from 100,000 to 150,000. So this means better news for Singaporeans because it's more protection for larger bills, correct? Or multiple hospitalization visits.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, so anything else on the claim limits that stood out for you?
Okay, so apart from the claim limits, some of the government also look into like treatment-specific claims, like they increase because there are some claims which current claims limits cannot afford to reach. That's why the government also increased the claim so that to help Singaporeans to help better cope with the with the medical bills. So these two things, I think, are the things that stood out for me.
Okay. Listen, people, when they hear MediShield, they think, oh, I bought an IP. And what does this mean for my IP plan? Are my IP plans going to be more expensive?
So basically, IP plans, because of the rising medical costs, IP plans have been increasing the premiums for the past few years. So, but because they also added in the deductibles and co-insurance, that's why I think moving forward, insurance companies will be better. Will be better off because consumers will have a second thought if, let's say, the condition is not that serious for them to be warded. So I think they can cope with the premiums better.
Okay, and great question. What do people do if they don't have enough in their MediSafe account to pay for their MediShield Life premiums? So the Health Minister, Gan Kim Yong, has said no one will lose MediShield Life coverage because of financial difficulties. There are a whole host, of course, of additional subsidies. Some are higher for Singaporeans from a Merdeka generation and the Pioneer generation. Merdeka and Pioneer generation seniors will also receive annual MediSafe top-ups of $200 to $800, depending on their age. And also remember, money can be moved from the MediSafe accounts of your immediate family members, like your spouse, like your child, to pay premiums on your behalf. And you can also top up your MediSafe account with cash, right?
Yes, correct.
All right. All right. We're talking with Lee Jia Chien, financial consultant with IPP Financial Advisors. Thanks for giving us a brief look at the changes with MediShield. You want to talk to us a little bit about insurance, because we're in the middle of a pandemic and people are wondering, is now a good time to buy insurance?
Yes, I believe it depends, but I believe that this pandemic has also highlighted the importance of having good health, and we should always be prepared financially in both good times and bad times. So if you have worked with a financial advisor within the last 2 years, you should be fine, because most advisors would have recommended 5 years worth of critical illness coverage. So yeah, with the inclusion of the national health schemes, like the changes to the MediShield Life and the introduction of CareShield Life, so I think if you have not reviewed your current finances recently, I think it is a good time to understand the impact on your insurance portfolio.
Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, so there isn't really a good or best time to get your insurance coverage. Yeah, but there's this thing that goes, I rather cover you for 3 years early rather than 3 days late.
Yeah, that's a great saying. Oh, my goodness. So are you seeing more people come forward with interest about insurance because it's a pandemic and there's more focus on health?
Yes, yes. Actually, during the pandemic, because of the closed circuit period, then more people are spending time at home. That's why through the internet, and they have more time to think about their current finance, their current health. Are they prepared? Are they prepared financially, and is their insurance coverage enough? That's why actually for the past few months, there have been quite a lot of inquiries in regards to this.
Okay, so I'm a chronic over-preparer. So this is my favorite question when it comes to insurance. How do I know when I have enough insurance?
How do you know? So the question to that, right, it depends as well, because it really depends on quite a few things, because of course you need to understand the affordability of your current status, and definitely what are the benefits that you can get out of your insurance policy. But I think most importantly, understanding your needs should always come first before asking about the question, how do I know whether I have enough? So yeah.
What do you mean by understanding my needs?
Okay, so basically understanding your needs, right, I would say that why do you need the insurance coverage for? For example, yeah. So for example, if let's say we are single with no dependents, probably that benefit will not be the first thing that come into our mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, and perhaps if let's say we have a family and we have children below and we have parents who are retired, then we have to think about this. If let's say we are the sole breadwinner of the family, do we need to cover ourselves enough just that in the event of illnesses and we will be able to provide for the family, and at the same time to cope with the rising inflation, the rising living expenses and stuff.
All right. So what are my needs? Why do I need insurance? And you say, actually, if you take a step back, it should be part of a holistic plan, right? For your retirement,
yes.
Your investment. Why do you believe that insurance is just one part of a holistic financial wellness plan?
All right. I would say to have a holistic financial wellness plan is like getting from where you are to where you want to be. So imagine this, you are on a journey across the ocean, all right? So you will need a map and a compass to sail. So your vision is the map and your financial advisor is your compass. So in order to reach your destination effectively, you will need an offensive strategy, which is your savings and investments. And in times of crisis, insurance planning is like a life buoy, a defensive strategy to help you manage your risk. So if there are changes to your financial goal, career, and lifestyle, you need to realign yourself. So this is just a part of holistic financial wellness planning. So to be even more holistic, right, apart from thinking about how you want to live, you should also explore ways to better manage your assets when you are physically or mentally ill, as well as to how you want to distribute your estate to your loved ones in your afterlife, correct? So to sum up, to have a holistic financial wellness plan, we need to look at three things. One, wealth management through insurance. Two, wealth accumulation through savings and investments. And three, wealth distribution through wills and trusts, LPA, ECT, and AMD.
Okay, yes. That's great. So insurance equals life buoys. That you want to make sure that you have on the boat with you as you're sailing towards your goal. I like that.
You know, right.
When people look at insurance policies, a lot of the time they think, I don't understand a word of what is in this policy because it's written in a lot of legalese, right? So can you help us understand what are some key things we should all be looking out for with our insurance policy?
All right. I think the key things that we should look out for are definitely what are the benefits of this insurance policy, because in Singapore, there is the health insurance and life insurance. So some of the people that I met, they got confused with, oh, I have this health insurance. Does that cover me for in the event, if let's say I have critical illness, do I get a $1 million of payout? So basically, I would say for insurance, there is a few categories like life insurance, health insurance, disability income, personal accident policy. So all of these is cover different areas of our life. So for example, health policy covers us in the event of, let's say, hospitalization. For example, when we are warded and we need to do a surgery. And for life insurance, the sole purpose or the main purpose of it is to cover for death, disability, critical illness, and early critical illness. So the main purpose of this, the main thinking behind is that it covers the loss of income. All right. And the disability cover, it actually covers a person in the event that this person probably is unable to work in their current occupation. And personal accident will fill up the gap whereby is maybe due to accident, then this person knock on their head, or maybe due to insect bite, dengue fever. So each category has their part to play in the whole picture.
Okay, there's a lot to take in. Also, you know, when it comes to whole life insurance, people hear, premiums are higher, but then the coverage lasts for a lifetime, and the policy has cash value, and there's a guaranteed rate of investment return. So help us understand the difference between term life and whole life insurance, which can be quite controversial, actually.
Yes, so the difference between whole life and term policy is that a whole life policy generally covers until the end of life, while term policy has a fixed end date. So for instance, I think a young adult, when they are starting their career, they should consider getting a whole life insurance, because this will form the foundation of their lifetime needs. And for those in their late 20s and 30s with the intention to start a family and buying a house, then they should consider to increase their coverage via a term policy. Since their liabilities have increased, they will need a temporary coverage that is tied to the mortgage term, so that in times of crisis, they will be able to ease their finance. Yeah, so generally speaking, I think that we should have a combination of both in the long run. And it really, really depends on one's current stage of life, the needs and the lifestyle. So yeah, basically, there's no one-size-fits-all solution. So in regards to term first or whole life first.
Which is better?
Yeah.
It depends on where you are in your life cycle, is it?
Yes, exactly, exactly. Because sometimes you have to look at a person's affordability as well, yeah.
So what happens if you outlive your term life insurance?
How do we outlive our term life insurance?
Well, what happens if I do outlive my term life insurance?
Right. So what happens is that so term policy is a contract by itself. So for example, we get a term plan that has a coverage until 70 years old.
Okay.
So if let's say we live past 70 years old, that means the contract has fulfilled its purpose. So actually, we should be happy because we live a healthy life for the past 70 years.
What happens to my money and all the premiums that I paid?
Yes, yes, exactly. So technically, I would say that a combination of both will be good because term policy for the past maybe like 30, 40 years, you are paying a lower premium as compared to a whole life policy. Right.
Yep.
But term policy they has a fixed end date, and that's why after if let's say we live past 70 years old,
yeah,
we have to depend on our whole life policy in order to have a lifelong coverage.
Why wouldn't I just buy another term life policy then?
The age of 70 years old or 60 over years old, probably a term policy will be very, very expensive. Yeah. So probably if we were to buy insurance when we are much older, health may be an issue because insurance company, most likely they want to take people with better health.
Right.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Insurance policy is like a defensive strategy, so that's why I also mentioned that they need to calculate the statistic and calculate the risk that they are undertaking. So, for example, if let's say people who are purchasing term policy at the age of 60 is the same as those people who are buying term policy at the age of 20s, then something must be wrong there.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a free lunch anywhere.
Yes. Exactly.
As Milton Friedman said. Okay, so what are some key challenges? You're 35 years old yourself, right?
Yes.
And you used to be an animator. So how does a young person like you get interested in the field of insurance?
All right. So this is personal. So personally, because during my 20s, and I was working with my father for a few years. So actually, my father is a cancer patient. He's still surviving. So So actually, right now he's on medication because actually he went for surgery 3 to 4 times and went through chemotherapy twice. So right now he has to depend on this medication to sustain his life. So that's why I think that the importance of having good health and life insurance, it's very important.
I'm sorry to hear about your father, and please send him our best wishes. We're happy to hear that he's surviving and he's battling this. Thanks for sharing that. Did he have to make changes to his insurance, or was that the moment when you realized how important insurance was and you had to go out and get it? I mean, how did it work out?
Gladfully, because when he got diagnosed, he already got a health insurance coverage. So in a way, the hospital bills is being subsidized or being paid for. So that's why we can better cope with the current finances.
Right. Great to hear that. Please send him our best wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us. And finally, before we let you go, for people out there who heard the first part of our show where we were talking about possible changes to IP plans because of the, you know, possible review to MediShield, and they're thinking, okay, I should just let go of my IP premiums, my current plan, and move to a lower tier plan. What are some considerations that they should be thinking about before they jettison their IP plans?
All right. Because if, let's say, we were to downgrade from private hospital to a government hospital,
yes, perhaps.
All right. So we have to take note that in terms of waiting time, I think that because for the entire population in Singapore, most people have public hospital coverage. So in terms of queuing time, they may have to wait for a bit longer. But if, let's say, they don't mind the wait, definitely they should consider the premiums that they are paying, and they can choose to downgrade. But definitely there is a proration that is in place to better help a person manage their healthcare costs.
Yeah, great considerations. Well, very nice speaking with you, Jia Chen. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
He's Li Jiaqian, financial consultant with IPP Financial Advisors, my guest today in Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.